Well, good evening to you all on this Good Friday. You know, Good Friday in the past has been a time for us to gather together and solemnly remember Christ's death on the cruel cross. I've always appreciated how in the past, at the end of the service, we were asked to leave the auditorium in silence, pondering Christ's death on the cross. And I would encourage you tonight, at the end of the service, just take some time and be still before the Lord. However, this Good Friday is like none other than we have celebrated together. And in the midst of the uncertainty in this world today, I want to look at the cross as a window to God's heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much for the technology that you've given us so that we can celebrate together and ponder the cross of Christ tonight, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet with us in all the places that we're meeting all over this area of Central Iowa and beyond. And Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts, that our hearts would be open before you, and that we would allow you to do whatever you need to do, God, through your word tonight. We thank you for the cross of Christ. Thank you so much for the salvation that it brings us, that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Lord, we love you tonight. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Really thankful for the reading of God's word. And we are in Mark chapter 15 tonight. And in Mark chapter 15, we're going to look at three things that God desires for us, as the cross is a window to God's heart. The first one is found in Mark 15, 6 through 15, and it is God's desire to issue an acquittal. God's desire to issue an acquittal. Mark 15, 6 through 15 says this. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Barabbas, an interesting character in the story. He was probably part of the insurrection. He committed murder, and he was sentenced to die this day. And on this day, he was then released, and Jesus was put in his place. Now, as I see it, as he was released, Barabbas had three choices that he could go to. One, he could have went back to leading the insurrection and his sinful ways. Two, he could have decided to be extra good and try to make up for all the sinful things he's done and all those bad things he did and try to earn his way into heaven. Or number three, Barabbas could have looked into this Jesus more who was taking his place. And he could have seen him as the Son of God, bearing sin for him, and believe on him and be saved. You see, literally, Jesus that day became the substitute for Barabbas. And in the most glorious way, Jesus has become our sinless substitute on that cross. And when we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus as the one and only sufficient substitute, we then are totally acquitted. Paul uses the term justified, which is a legal term, which means to be declared righteous, to be found not guilty in the court of law. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, Verses 22 through 25, he says, that is why his faith, which is talking about Abraham, was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who is delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You see in verse 25, he says, he was delivered up for our trespasses. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. And he was raised for our justification, for us to walk free and clear, to be acquitted of all wrongdoing, of all sin. What an amazing, amazing truth that Barabbas, that this is shown to us through Barabbas and his acquittal. Now, each of us have those same three choices that Barabbas had after he was acquitted of his sin and Jesus took his place. You know, we could continue in our sinful ways and just have an attitude of we don't care. We will just keep doing what we are doing. It satisfies us a little bit and then we run to it again and get satisfied again and we keep running to our sinful ways. Secondly, we could try and be extra good so that we could possibly earn salvation. You know, as we talk to people, many people that we ask the question to, if you were to die today and go to heaven, why would God let you in? And many people say, because I'm good enough. I'm a good person. And let me tell you today, that is not true according to God's word. God says it is by faith alone and not of works, lest any man should boast. Or three, we could look into this Jesus and we could accept his sacrifice as the only sufficient way to get into heaven. And maybe you are watching right now and those are the three choices that you have with your life. You can continue your sinful ways. Maybe you're striving to do good things so that one day when you pass away from this earth, you will be good enough. But I will tell you right now, the third choice is the most important choice and you need to make it. And I implore you to make it tonight. Look to Jesus on the cross. And because he's on that cross and he was on that cross, you can be acquitted if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved tonight. Have you chosen to turn to Jesus and by faith believe that he is the only way to God through his perfect substitutionary sacrifice on the cross? God's desire of his heart is that all would be acquitted through his son, Jesus Christ. The second desire that we see when we look into the cross as a window into God's heart, the second thing we see is that we see God's desire to give assurance. God's desire to give assurance. And this was paid for with such a cost. And let's look at these two verses here from Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? What happened when Christ was forsaken? I will never understand this side of heaven, the full weight that was on our Savior at that time and on our Father in heaven at this moment on the cross. But let me tell you, when Christ was forsaken, I believe it goes back to the cup that he told God to remove from him when he prayed in the garden. Look back just a chapter, Mark 14:36. Mark 14:36 says, and he said, Abba, Daddy, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. This cup is the cup of God's wrath for all of sin. Sure, Jesus was in anguish over the physical torment, the mental torment, the sense of abandonment by the Father. But the thing that was most torturous was consuming the cup of God's wrath for all of sin. And it was at this moment that the wrath was poured out on Christ on the cross, and the Father had to turn his face away because his Son became sin for us. Spurgeon said, all hell was distilled into that cup of which our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, was made to drink. Oh, that we would grasp that truth, that Jesus drank the full cup of God's wrath for our sin. Jonathan Edwards once said, you contributed nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary. Oh, that hits my heart hard. Oh, that makes me want to back away from the cross because I recognize I'm on holy ground. It was my sin that made it necessary. That's the only thing that I contributed to my salvation was the need for a Savior. And Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath for my sins and for your sins. And one writer says, if he would have drank that cup and then gave us the empty cup, oh, that would have been enough. That would have been enough. But no, 1,000 times no, that's not what he does. He drinks the cup of God's wrath and then he fills it back up with spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing, grace upon grace, until it's overflowing and spills out, and then he offers it to us. 2 Peter 1:3 through 4 gives us this glorious truth. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Oh, what blessed assurance we have. Because Christ was forsaken, we will never be forsaken, those of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ. And all of God's promises are yes in Jesus. We have all that we need because of the cross of Christ. I am so thankful tonight as we celebrate Good Friday and we think of the cruel cross of Jesus, that I can come to it and I can accept the free gift of salvation, and then he gives me a cup back full of blessing upon blessing and grace upon grace. So as we look at the cross as a window into God's heart, we see that God desires to give an acquittal. We see God desires to give us assurance that he has given us everything we need. We don't need anything more. And because Christ was forsaken, we will never be forsaken. And then the last one, God's desire to give us access. God's desire to give us access. Two verses again in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. Mark chapter 15, 37 through 38. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And that loud cry was, it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full. And don't miss verse 38. Don't miss it. There's a fantastic truth in this. It says, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And we find out from Leviticus 16 that this curtain in the temple, that the curtain in the temple separated the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God's presence was. It was separated, that curtain separated this from the rest of the people. And only once a year, the high priest could go in to God's presence for the Day of Atonement. To look or go behind the curtain at any other time would mean instant death. And if you've read The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, you know that this curtain itself was 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. And to be torn from top to bottom at the moment that Jesus died sent a clear message to those in the temple when Jesus died that God was opening access to himself for everyone through the cross of Jesus. Oh, to be in that temple when that took place. Those priests, though, it's sad to say that they're probably scattering and scared and fearful. And they were trying to fix it possibly because they wanted their system and their traditions to keep going. But no, God ripped the curtain once and for all so that we can have access to him. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And it goes on to say in that passage, as we contemplate that we have a high priest, Jesus, and we look at the cross of Christ, it shows us that God's desire is for us to have access to his throne through our high priest, Jesus. The Jews no longer needed to go to the temple. And praise the Lord that we don't have to go to a human priest to confess our sins and pour out our hearts. That's one thing that this time in our world is showing us. And I'm so thankful for that fact that even though there's nobody in here right now, you, where you are right now, you can go boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus. You don't have to be here, even though we miss you and want to see you. And you don't have to go to a priest or a pastor to get to the throne of God. You can go directly to him tonight through Jesus. And we have confidence and go boldly to his throne. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see there a great picture that God has poured out his grace upon us and we have access to that grace. And not only that, but our suffering is redeemed. And as we go through suffering, it produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And then character produces a great hope, and that hope does not disappoint because it was paid in full by Jesus Christ on the cross. Oh, how thankful I am tonight to look into the window of the cross of Jesus and see through that window the heart of God. And we see that God desires for us an acquittal. He desires to acquit us from our sin if we call upon his name and go through him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be acquitted and we can be saved tonight. And Lord, and God has a desire for us to have assurance in him. Jesus was forsaken on the cross, so we will never have to be forsaken. And God has a desire for us to have access right into his throne room through his son, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, this last week, God has really blessed us with some beautiful days. I was able to get outside. I'm sure many of you were able to get outside as well. And on a particular beautiful day, I looked out one of my windows at my home to see the beauty of spring bursting forth, God's faithfulness, bringing the seasons, spring bursting forth. And however, when my focus was drawn away from the beauty, the birds, the green grass, the flowers, the trees budding, when my focus was drawn away to that and to the window itself, I saw dirt from this last winter. And that's when the thought hit me. My focus can so easily be drawn away from the heart of God by all the circumstances that are dirtying up my window of my heart. So I had a little help with one of my kids and came up with this illustration. I have this next slide coming up. And on this window, it's kind of hard to see, but on this window, I drew a cross. And on that cross, I have a few things listed that can draw my focus away right now in these days, away from the cross and away from the heart of God. The first one is this COVID-19 virus. I can be drawn away to media and other sources and just being bombarded by all of it. And my focus gets drawn to that. It might be relationship issues. I'm at home with my kids all day. It's hard. And that can take my focus away from the heart of God. It might be anxiety. You know, as pastors here at this church, we have moments of anxiety when it comes to wanting to meet again. And when will this end? We don't know. We have moments of that anxiety, and we have to take our focus off that and put it back on the cross and into the heart of God again. It might be job security for you that's taking your focus away right now. It might be health issues. I know there's many in our church who are expecting a child in the next week or months ahead, and it's an uneasy time for them. We praise the Lord for the one who was born this last week, and we look forward to what God's gonna do, but it can take our focus off the cross, our concern about that, our health issues, and having a baby in the hospital during this time can just take our focus away from where it's supposed to be. And so we have to look at that window and focus in on the window of the cross. And as we do that, what happens is what this next slide will show. We see the heart of God. And we get our focus on that. And as we focus through the window of Christ's cross and we see the heart of God, all those other things grow dim. Praise the Lord. And we can trust in the heart of God. So the cruel cross of Jesus is a window into the heart of God. Maybe that is why that old rugged cross is beautiful and it has a wondrous attraction to me. It's because when I look at things in this life that are uncontrollable, the dirt on the window, and I focus in on the cross, and I see beyond all of that cross, through the cross of Jesus, to the heart of God is where I find an acquittal. I find assurance, and I find access right to God himself. I might just have to leave a window dirty in my house this summer. Just so as I walk past it, I will be reminded to set my focus onto the cross, through the cross, to the heart of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight and to celebrate and to think about the cross of Jesus. God, I am so unworthy to come to you, God. I am a wretched sinner, but Lord, I'm so thankful that the invitation is for all to come and receive the free gift of salvation. Thank you for saving me through the cross of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for the one who's watching tonight, Lord, and the Holy Spirit is stirring their heart and they know they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. God, I would pray that you would break that person's heart, that you would turn it to you, draw them to yourself, and you would gloriously save them through the cross of Christ tonight. And Lord, for those of us who just are struggling right now to keep our focus where it needs to be, we're distracted by so many things. Lord, I pray that tonight would be a night where we can just focus on the cross and look through the cross of Jesus and see your very heart and how you love us so much. And may it spur us on to be lights for you, to share the good news of the cross of Christ with people around us. Just thank you so much for that opportunity to do that with people. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ. Thank you that it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. We love you tonight. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.